Hey, everybody. Welcome to Guys Who Law, Episode 8. I'm Jesse Weber.
I'm Andrew Esbrook.
And we have a lot to talk about today. We are going to talk about the big issue with 3D guns constantly in the news. We're going to give our perspective on it. Then we're going to move into a really weird case about coworkers. You may have to report on your coworker if they've committed a crime. Andrew's going to tackle that one.
Yeah, this one's really interesting. And in my home state of New Jersey, too, so...
Yeah.
And who knows?
And it might have an implication for where you live, too. And then finally, we have a crazy crime story of the week, but we're not going to tell you what it is yet. It's about a superintendent who got into some deep...
Doo-doo.
Okay. No pun intended. Well, maybe pun intended. All right. Let's talk about the 3D guns. So there are firearms that are made from a 3D printer. They're assembled from plastic parts. It's actually the type of plastic that you would use for Legos. Now, 3D printing today is a lot more accessible than it's ever been because of the software out there. There's also been a slight reduction in how much it costs to make these 3D guns. But I should note that making the machines, the guns, it still costs a few thousand dollars. So it's an expensive process, and that's going to be an important part when I talk about it in a little bit. But these 3D plastic guns, there are no background checks. There's no serial numbers. They're basically untraceable. You make your own weapon. Now, you might be saying to yourself, are they effective? You fire this weapon, what's going to happen? Well, some of the guns shatter once you fire it, but in 2013, that's when they were first tested. And in fact, they're lethal. They fired bullets. Some were really lethal, some were really effective, some were not. Now, the people that support 3D guns, they like the idea that these guns are unregulated, that they're untraceable, because it makes it extremely difficult for the government to ban them. So laws banning these guns would be really unenforceable in a way. And we're going to talk more about this guy named Cody Wilson. I'm sure anybody who knows this situation knows him. He's an extreme right-wing gun advocate. We're going to talk about him in a minute. Now, the problem, and this is what the people who don't like 3D guns are saying, this can create serious security problems. They're untraceable. They're mostly invisible to metal detectors. Think about it. They're made from plastic. And it's also for terrorists and criminals who can't pass normal background checks to get guns. They can get their hands on these weapons. They can make them themselves. In 2012, Cody Wilson, who I just mentioned, this extreme right-wing gun advocate, posted design plans for the Liberator gun online. This was a big problem for the State Department. They told him to remove all of these schematics, that this was a violation of international export laws, and he could face millions of dollars in fines and years in prison. Wilson complied with the State Department, but then he went back and sued them. And he is making a First Amendment argument. He shifted the whole discussion from the Second Amendment to the First Amendment. What he said is, forbidding him from posting these 3D printable designs online was not only violating his right to bear arms, but his right to freely share information, his right of free speech under the First Amendment. And this becomes really interesting because in December of 2013, a big law was passed. It's a federal law that requires all guns to be detectable by metal screening machines. And that law was extended for another 10 years, so it's in effect till 2023. Plastic guns, they're not usually detectable by metal detectors. So plastic guns, the way you get around that is you have to put in a removable metal block, but the key word there is removable. So people that want to smuggle guns into areas where you need a metal detector, you can take out that little block. Let's fast forward 5 years. June 2018. A gun rights group called Defense Distributed, this is actually Cody Wilson's nonprofit organization, they reached a settlement with the government that would allow it to post these 3D printable gun plans. This settlement was not viewed favorably by a lot of people. Let's fast forward now to July 31st, 2018. It was only last week. Courts barred these 3D gun designs from being posted online. They were about to be posted online, and a U.S. District Judge Robert Lasnik in Seattle issued a restraining order. It halted these plants from coming online. He says there is a possibility of irreparable harm because of the way these guns can be made. He also – this was all in response to a lawsuit that was filed by 8 states against the federal government to block the settlement. I told you, people were upset about the settlement. But the judge said there are extreme First Amendment issues that need to be addressed, and this back and forth is what we're going to talk about. This issue will go to the court on August 10th when both sides will argue over this preliminary injunction. So there's a big issue right here with these design plans being posted online. It's the bigger issue about the 3D guns, and we're going to talk about it right now.
So why do we need to make it easier for people to get guns? I don't think that's a problem that we need to solve right now.
Now, they're arguing, the Second Amendment supporters, that, hey, innovation. We should have the right to innovate new types of guns. It's our right. A gun is a gun. That's what their argument is. And that, how do you stifle this? So they're saying it from that perspective. They're also saying, from a First Amendment perspective, hey, these plans, their code, computer code's free speech. We're allowed to post it. It's the same thing like not allowing the Pentagon Papers online. It's free speech. You're halting free speech.
So, I mean, I don't think our founders, though, when they were drafting the Second Amendment to the Constitution, envisioned that people would be able to manufacture guns themselves using an advanced plastic technology. And second, it seems like there's two issues here. One is the right to publish the engineering specs to produce a plastic gun or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And the second is, can people actually manufacture it once they have those specs? And it seems like that's the part that's already illegal. The drawings and publishing that, that's the part that's in the court right now, right?
Right, because you wouldn't know how to make the gun without the designs. And this Cody Wilson guy was like one of the first people to make a plastic gun,
3D gun. How about other pieces of weapons? Like, can you publish the designs of how to manufacture a bomb, or how to create a bazooka gun?
Right. So if you go online, you want to become a terrorist, you can find out ways to build bombs, flamethrowers, all different stuff. People will say, why are you making such a big deal out of 3D guns? And I would say, because you can't detect them. You hold a plastic gun. And I don't buy the argument. It doesn't work. Okay. It needs to fire one bullet. That's one kill right there. That's it. I don't care.
Have you seen X-Men where I'm about to geek out really badly? Magneto? Yeah. When they go into Magneto's prison, they can't have metal weapons. They bring plastic weapons, and those things work.
And that movie was like from 2003, so they were already thinking in the future.
So imagine the innovation that they have today.
Yeah. If you start the 3D guns now and allow it, they're saying, oh, the technology right now is not great. You know, you can't fire these weapons. What's going to be in 10 years? Of course these plastic guns are going to work even better. They're going to work just like regular guns, if not better. And it's going to be the way to get through metal detectors. Now, how do you detect plastic? How do you detect it unless there's a metal component to it?
There must be some sort of way that airports or wherever you're going can install like a plastic detector now too, if it really came to that.
I don't even know how you do that.
I don't know, but I'm not an engineer, but I would hope there's some way in the future that we could do that, because even, let's say they make everything illegal, that you can't put up the drawings, you can't manufacture these guns yourself, which you already can't do, there's still going to be people who do it.
My issue is, you want to talk about Second Amendment rights. Yes, you have a right to bear arms. I totally get it, right? Just because something is law, just because something is protected by the Constitution, doesn't mean it can't be regulated. Not everyone can get a machine gun. Not everyone can get an assault rifle. And the NRA and pro-gun right groups understand that. And I think that they also believe that, you know what, it's a right. It's a privilege to have a gun. So why would you just be okay with anyone making a weapon and bringing it out there? In a way, doesn't that tarnish the privilege of owning a gun, if you want to take their argument?
Yeah, and after all these shootings over the last year or two, where it's been too easy for people to get guns as it is, why do we need to make it even easier for people to manufacture guns themselves? I don't understand.
And who wants the guns? So I always hear the two big arguments are hunting and protecting yourself in your home, right? Why do you need a plastic gun to kill deer or birds in the sky? I don't get that. And then protecting your home, if you want to protect your home, and you're in a state, you're going to get a license. You're going to get a permit. You're going to figure out a way to get a real gun.
It would be cheaper to get a real gun, too, than manufacture a plastic gun yourself, at least right now. Those machines are pretty expensive, right?
They're a couple of $1,000s. So then the question becomes, oh, are criminals going to spend all this money on these guns, or are they just going to steal a gun?
Well, I think it's eventually going to get cheaper, these machines. Like, this technology is pretty new, so I would assume at some point it's going to be cheaper. Somebody will be manufacturing and printing these guns for other people and make a business that way. So.
Cody Wilson, he wants to make the profit off the design.
I think no matter what, we're going to have an issue with this in the future, because even if something's illegal, people are going to find a way to get around it and make their own guns. So the question is, how do we come up with a way that makes it very difficult for people who want to skirt the law? And maybe, and I'm not a pro in how these things are manufactured, like target the companies that are manufacturing these devices, so it's very difficult to use them in that way.
Okay, I'll second this. I'll tell you this. The 3D printing machines, why don't you have something that you have to register it? If you're going to buy that machine, register it. So now you know everybody that has a 3D printing machine. Yeah. Okay, maybe I don't know what the legality of this is, but maybe can you put a tracker in the machines, know where they are, know who they're sold to? If you can track the machines, you know who has it. And maybe, you know what? Maybe the machine should be treated like a gun. Maybe you need a license to have the machines.
Yeah, if you can use it to possibly manufacture a gun, there needs to be some regulation where there's either a check on the person who's buying it, or that they at least have your name, so that if something goes wrong, they can enforce the law and say that you shouldn't be doing such and such. So, even if whatever laws happen here and what happens with the 3D regulation, et cetera, people are always going to find a way to skirt around the law and get what they want.
So that's the other argument. They're like, what's the big deal here? People who want to commit crimes, people who want to kill people, they're going to find ways to do it one way or another. They're going to get a gun. They're going to get a knife. They're going to figure it out. They're going to break the law. Is this really going to increase crime? And I would say I'm more concerned with criminal organizations and terrorists, because if they would have the financing to buy these machines and make these guns and distribute them. I mean, what does it take to have a small plastic gun as one extra bullet, two extra bullets in your arsenal?
I'm going to start a company where it's a detector that it can detect plastic guns in airports. Yeah.
Well, here's what I think. Even if you create these guns, right, it's going to be the same situation with kids in the house. So let's say you have somebody that wants to make plastic guns. I want to have a souvenir wall, all these cool plastic guns that I created. And by the way, I don't know that much about them. I wonder if you can make like the gun from like eraser or like make up guns, like guns that don't even fire. But okay, you make these 3D guns. Little kids, I would look at it and think it's a toy.
If I saw the plastic gun, yeah.
Yeah. So what's the danger? They're gonna shoot somebody. It's an accident. Or they take it to a school. Take it to a school. It looks like a toy gun.
Yeah, I mean, I would hope that people have the same sense of locking up their guns like they do any other gun. Like, if you manufacture a plastic gun, you put it in a safe so that a child can't get to it.
Yeah.
I think that's probably a separate issue. But, you know, whether a child will see this machine at their house and maybe it'll be like their form of Legos in the future, where they're creating kind of like – they already create like weapons with Legos. Maybe this is like the next thing.
Wait, people create weapons from Legos?
Well, like, I guess Star Wars weapons, like Millennium Falcon.
We're learning a lot about you. Yeah, we're learning a lot about
really
your childhood.
I'm really geeking out on this podcast, yeah.
Oh, Jesse. You know, but I don't know what else you can create on a 3D printing machine. I think you can create a knife. I know you can create knives, but...
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was wondering, too. That's probably easier to create than...
Super easy to create that. Yeah. I'm not advocating that at all. No one... Please don't make 3D knives. By the way, I didn't even know what 3D... For a second, when I first read about it and, like, heard it in the news 2 weeks ago,
yeah.
I was like, what? It pops out at you? Like, I didn't know what 3D... guns meant. I was like, oh, you put your glasses on, it pops out at you. I didn't understand what it was.
Yeah, no.
I think they need a different name for it. What do you think about the First Amendment issue? So we switch gears right now. We talked about the second. Mm-hmm. First Amendment issue is, okay, we got all these design plans. It's instructions on how to make illegal weapons. That's really what it is.
Right.
But then the other way is they say, hey, code is protected. It's free speech.
Yeah.
But there's got to be a limit.
Yeah, I mean, so... There obviously are things that are bad that you can put out there on the internet or wherever that are protected by free speech, whether you're talking about like, you know, you're a hate group or something and putting out propaganda about that, that's still protected by free speech, et cetera. Like, there are bad things that people put out there that are protected by free speech. But I think, like, I assume that you can't if you put out designs for like nuclear weapons
online. No, I mean, they're out there, but I'm pretty sure it's not legal to do that.
So there definitely is limits that are necessary for the kinds of stuff you can put out in terms of you know, writings that could be dangerous to people. I think that's probably where the limit should be.
Then in that case, on August 10th, when both sides fight this order that blocked the designs from going online, you're going to say that the people that are in favor, that are anti-3D guns, are going to win. Because the judge said there is serious irreparable harm. And for anybody who doesn't know, that's a legal term for there's going to be a lot of trouble coming. And this is, I think, the perfect example of that term. When you think about the harm that could happen if 3D guns flood the marketplace or flood homes and everybody's able to have a gun, I mean, that's the most drastic scenario. I'm not saying that's what's going to happen, but that is kind of irreparable harm.
So I think this is going to actually be a hard case to decide, because, like, where do you draw the line? There are other weapons and devices that people put designs out there for, like the bombs. You know, there might be certain forms of, like, metal guns. I'm sure there are designs out there on the internet for that. So where do you draw the line? Why is plastic different? Like, right now you were saying that you can't detect it in an airport, but at some point that might be possible to detect it in an airport. So should those designs be legal to put out on the internet then?
I guess the battle is, does the government have a compelling state interest in the ban versus what's the legitimate use of or the legitimate purpose of having those designs online? Yes, people can create guns, but can you say, hey, look, it's instructional. It's important that people have this. Is there a way that you can that they could tailor their argument and say, hey, it's not just about creating these guns?
Yeah, but not everything you put out there that's protected under free speech, like, needs to be a good thing for society. Like, you can put things out there that are bad for society.
So how are they going to protect it? That, hey, listen, it's just my free speech?
Well,
if it creates a danger, though, how do they protect it?
I would look at other items that are similar in nature to plastic guns and see if they're protected by free speech. Like, for example, like putting out designs of bombs. I'm sure maybe putting out a design of a nuclear bomb is not legal, but putting out a design of a Molotov cocktail, I'm sure, like, that's fine.
Well, that's really simple. That's a bottle of gasoline and a metal rag. I'm pretty sure you don't need a design for that.
Yeah.
Homemade guns, regular homemade guns, are legal. Legal. And they could say, hey, listen, if homemade guns are legal, why are you giving a hard time about plastic guns?
That's why I don't think it's a clear-cut case. I think the law that should be more clear-cut is manufacturing these guns, plastic guns, yourself.
So you go after the manufacturers.
Well, that you can't manufacture a plastic gun. And that law is already on the books. But I think it's a smart law.
Yeah. Unless it has a metal component in it.
Yeah, I think this law is important. Like, I think it helps, like, prevent some dangerous things from happening. But let's say it kind of goes the other way. I think it's less important than just making it difficult for people to manufacture guns themselves.
So in other words, it probably is going to be okay if you have a plastic gun, but it's got a metal component in it. Thank goodness, I think, for now, the guns are shattering. Some of them are not working that great. But at the end of the day, maybe if you can target the manufacturer of the machines or try to register the machines and know who's owning it, that might be the way to do it. Are we creating policy right now?
Yeah. Or create a plastic metal detection company. Plastics R Us.
Yes.
That will stop this crime in the future.
You already have a name? You already have a name? You're that good?
I'm just brainstorming here.
Well, it's scary, but I'm curious to see which way it'll go. And maybe we'll do a follow-up episode about what the decision is in August.
Yeah, that would be interesting to see.
Okay, so let's do a rating system on this this topic. Again, we do 1 to 10. So 10 is like the most important, affects everyone's life, and 1 is like Roy Rogers. Doesn't affect your life, and it's nowhere to be
found.
You
have a vendetta against Roy Rogers, because this is not the first time that you brought it up.
Yeah, I looked it up the other day. They're not doing much.
Have you been there?
They used to be in my town. They're nowhere to be found.
You
now.
Probably had a bad experience there.
I had a bad experience at Arby's.
All right.
Oh,
the
man.
Beef sandwiches.
I didn't even get, like, I just didn't feel well for 2 days. Oh, nothing happened. I just felt off. I don't know. It was strange.
I would make 10 a White Castle, because that's the best.
That's okay. That's fair. Okay, let's write this down.
It's a tangent. I'll go first.
Okay.
So I'm going to rate this one an 8.6.
Okay.
Because I think gun legislation in this country is super important based on what's happened lately. And I will say for everybody out there that's like, it's not going to make a difference, blah, 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 that yes, I don't think it's a silver bullet, but I think that we should still put in place legislation that is common sense makes sense and will protect us as much as possible in the future. And there's still going to be crazy people out there that do crazy stuff. But if we can stop someone from making a plastic gun and going out there and using it for bad purposes, when they already have access potentially to real guns, like, why do we need to open the market even more? This is something where I feel like we don't need to expand our market.
So I'm going to give it a 9, very similar to you. It's a big issue in terms of First Amendment and Second Amendment rights, which really affects everybody. And I'm also curious to see what Andrew's company might be and how that'll affect everything as well. So I give it a 9, very, 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 very important issue.
All right, so next topic. So there was a recent case in New Jersey, my home state where I grew up, where a court found that there might be an obligation in the future, and they did not rule on this in this case, but they talked about it a little bit, that employees, if you find out that your coworker has committed a crime, that you might have an obligation to report that to the police or report it to your employer, your boss, HR, whoever it is. So just to give you some facts of the case, is JH versus KGG. What happened was a 44-year-old named Kenneth had sex with a 15-year-old at the time, Georgia.
Ooh.
So in New Jersey, the age of consent is 16, so that is against the law, considered statutory rape. And Kenneth has now been convicted for this crime. He had told a coworker that he had been in a relationship with Georgia, but apparently the coworker didn't know that she was 15. He just knew that he was in a relationship with someone. Arthur, the coworker, did not report this to the police. He had just spoken with Kenneth about it. Georgia, who's the 15-year-old girl, then sued not just Kenneth, but also Arthur and his employer, which was an ambulance company, because they were both EMTs.
Are these their real names, by the way?
I think so.
They used a real name?
Well, in the case, yeah, I think they did.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, these are just first names, though, so you don't know the last name.
Yeah, okay.
Georgia then sued not just Kenneth, but also Arthur and their employer, even though the crime apparently had nothing to do with their employment. It just had to do with statutory rape. So the court did not hold Arthur and the employer liable for not reporting this to the police, et cetera. But it did say that they may need to impose a duty in the future where employees and coworkers and employers have a duty to report crimes they find out about, even if it doesn't have to do with what's going on in the office.
So here's my question for you. What's the line then? You know, how do you hold an employer responsible for a conversation between two employees if they have no idea what's going on? Am I understanding that correctly? So for example, you and I work together. I say, you know what? I just robbed that bank 2 weeks ago. You don't say anything. Abrams Media is going to be in trouble.
So they're saying that maybe there could be a possibility in the future, but there was no ruling on it, so it doesn't have any precedent. Like, there's no law that requires that right now. But
that's a possibility, what I just said.
Yeah, I mean, they shouldn't be in trouble because there's no way they could have known about that.
Yeah.
I mean, there are certain scenarios where if you know someone that you're working with or is part of your company organization is committing a crime – or is involved in a crime, you do need to report it. But there's very few cases where that occurs. So there's like a higher standard of care where you're a school teacher and you find out that there's child abuse going on somewhere, or you're involved in like a...
Larry Nassar.
Yeah, that
there
sort
you
of
go.
Thing.
Right.
But in a regular company, there's usually not a duty to do that regularly. If you're just listening to someone talk about their crimes, you have no duty to go out and report it to the police.
So you're saying when a company should know or reasonably should know, that might be a different scenario. Here, I'll give it the different perspective though, okay? Let's say you have a guy, crazy guy, no friends, no family, but he's got a job. The people at the office are the only people he really talks to in his life, okay? Mm-hmm. Tells them that he, tells them some stuff, committed some crimes. Wouldn't it make sense then, since they're the only outlet he has, the only place that would know what he did, that they should be held liable in a certain way, that they have to because in an office, you have to talk to people. You got to – you know what I'm saying?
But there's so many reasons why that person might not want to report it. Like, I would hope that they would maybe do something, but let's say they didn't 100% know for sure that this was happening, or they don't agree with the law in that state and don't think it should be a crime, or they don't want to cause waves in their company, just in terms of how people view them. So there's a lot of reasons why they don't want to do it.
Or they don't believe them. They think they're just making stuff up.
Yeah, that's probably the number one reason.
Obviously, I think if this ever happened, you would have your HR department. Yeah. So, Andrew, you came in and you told me you punched an old person in the face the other day, okay? horrific. Yeah. By the way, you're a horrible
person.
Probably
not good for our company.
Not good for your company. But, yeah. Okay. That
I love old people, for the record.
I'm glad we straightened that out. You tell me this conversation, and I'm uncomfortable by the conversation you just had with me. I'll go to my HR department, and under the guise of saying, Andrew, I had an uncomfortable moment with Andrew. I think it's something that you should look into. Mm-hmm. That's the way to say it, and opposed to me trying to figure out if you actually committed this crime and whether or not you did
it. But should there be a duty for you to say that? Like, you can, yeah, that's fine if you say that. Like, That's probably okay, but should there be a legal duty? Like, are you willing to get in trouble for that if you don't do it?
Well, why would I get in trouble?
Well, if you didn't report it to HR.
Well, this is just like a Seinfeld episode from the series finale when they saw someone getting mugged and they didn't tell the police. It's like the Good Samaritan law.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if you – also, I think it's individuals – like, if you're a person – take away from this. If you're a person, someone comes to you and says that they committed a crime and you legitimately believe them, what would you do?
I mean, I would first of all, I'm a lawyer, so if they would come to me as an attorney,
coming to you as Andrew.
As a friend or a coworker, I guess that's different. What would I do? It depends what the crime is. I don't know.
I'd also be scared that they would kill me.
Yeah, I mean, if it was something
like, why are you telling me?
If there was something that was violent, I would maybe think twice before reporting them to the police. But if it's something that could be stopped, like, they kidnapped somebody.
Yeah.
I might throw an anonymous tip at the police then.
Yeah. Well, that's a different thing. Like, if there's like an imminent crime, like it's still happening or there's still a danger, that's even more reason to report. But imagine like someone gives hey, you know how Billy went missing last week on our weekend trip? Don't worry about him. You know, I mean, it's interesting. I don't know. By the way, is no one working anymore? Everybody's so free to have conversations about committing crimes. What happened to just sticking to work?
Yeah, just be professional.
No, coworkers aren't your friends. Coworkers are not your friends.
They're going to turn their back on you and report you to the police.
Yeah, everyone's trying to do better in the job anyway. They hope that you lose and that you can get their position. Yeah. It's a great opportunity for them to shoot you under the bus.
I mean, I do see a situation like let's say that a coworker tells you that they committed a crime and they're going to continue to commit the crime, and you listen and you kind of encourage it, and you're like, oh, like, that sounds like a really good idea. Let me make that a little easier for you. Like, I'll, you know, let you use my car this weekend and you can do it. You can go there yourself and do it that way. That's called being an accomplice.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's a step above.
But that's the line I think that's probably drawn.
I guess at the end of the day, it's really like, first, for the person, the coworker, if they should reasonably think that this person actually committed a crime or there's still a danger, yes, they might have a duty report. And as far as the company's concerned, I really don't want to hold them liable unless they really should have known, like the Larry Nassar example and USAG and different universities.
You think basically if a coworker has committed a crime that has nothing to do with the company, it's not a danger to anybody else at the company, the person that they're telling that to, if they have a reasonable suspicion that that's true, should have a duty to report it?
I mean, let's think about it. If that person who committed a crime shows some signs in the next few weeks that something's a little off and it's pretty blatant to other people in the office and it's right there in the company space, maybe. But if I have a conversation with you, I say, Andrew, I punched an old person in the face, and then we never talk about it again. Why should Abrams Media or whatever company we work for, why should they be responsible? No. And I don't even think you would be responsible. But if it's something where you're giving off signs and there's a reasonable expectation that, you know what, I think I did something.
Even if it has nothing to do with your office.
Yeah, because again, I'm going to go – the office is a place where you have to have people talking. If somebody doesn't have family or friends and they're not going to tell anybody, they have to talk to coworkers.
But you just said that you want people to be professional and not talk about this stuff in the office.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm changing my mind. I don't know. Here's what I'm saying, basically. If you are a psychopath or you're a serial killer and you want to confess, confess to your coworkers.
All right, should we write this one? I think we got this.
Yeah, let's write this one.
All right. Let's write it down.
All right.
Okay.
I'm good. Okay.
You go first.
Yeah. I'm going to give this a 4 because there's been no decision on it, and I don't really think it's going to go one way or another. I think it's like spitballing here. We had a good time talking about it.
Yeah.
But again, I think it's going to be for those extreme kind of cases where it's really obvious that Milton over there is a serial killer.
Was that an Office Space reference?
Maybe.
I would
burn the police.
Can you get my stapler? I would give this a 3.2. It's probably not going to go anywhere. It's more like a good law school discussion. Like, it's very theoretical. Brings in a lot of points to law. I remember like exams where we had similar questions to this too.
Yeah, I try to block those from my head.
Yeah. So this is not going to be anything.
What advice do we give people if your coworker tells you a crime?
This is an ethical thing, I think.
You have to. So people out there, you got to do the right thing.
Just look inside yourself and. Think of what kind of person you want to be.
And also, you know, think about if your coworker's going to kill you if you say anything.
Yeah, basically.
All right, good stuff.
All right, so we're going to take it to a more serious story right now. So, when did this story happen? Was this last week?
Yeah.
Okay, so recently, there was this is another New Jersey. I'm really making my state look bad now.
Well, you said it.
Okay, all right. New Jersey already has a... It's an underrated state. But anyways.
This story's not helping it in any which way.
No. So there was a New Jersey superintendent. He's been the superintendent of a school in New Jersey, Thomas Tremaglini, since February 2016. He was arrested in May for allegedly pooping on a Homedale High School's track and football field.
Everyone just process that for one second. Andrew, please continue.
He's since resigned from the position, which is confirmed online by Kenilworth's Board of Education 3 months after he was charged with lewdness, littering, and defecating in public.
3 months, which is very interesting. It took them 3 months for him to, you know what? I'm going to resign.
So the response from his attorney was, this was not a decision that was made lightly, but Dr. Tremaglini does not want present and future legal proceedings unrelated to his official duties to the district to present a distraction to the important job that the teachers and administrators in the district have educating children.
That was a good statement.
Yeah, the attorney did a good job.
It's not about him. It's about the kids.
I want to know why he pooped.
Okay. We don't know. What we know, we don't know why he, allegedly did this, and we don't know how they caught him. This is where I want to talk about this right now. If he had an upset stomach, maybe that's excusable once. But I think they caught him a second time. I think this was a pattern. So here's my question to you. If this was his sick thing, that he likes to do this in public, like a squirrel?
Serial pooper,
okay. Likes to do this, take a little squat, make me read a magazine and walk his way. How did he make it to superintendent? Do you really think that this is a situation where he is a serial defecator and he's going all around doing this? Because I think someone would have caught him in his life doing this. I think it's probably either a situation where if he really did do this, it was an emergency.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe someone's not telling the truth and there's a lot more to this story than meets the eye.
If it was an emergency, I kind of feel bad for him. Like, he had probably some bowel problems, some IBS. Like,
yeah.
You know, let him be. Like, why does he have to resign from his job for that?
New Jersey has a lot of woods, though. Why didn't he just go out there?
Yeah, why did he go in the middle of a football field?
You guys lost last week. Yeah, why there? I mean, that's a really open public place.
He probably thought, maybe he thought nobody was there. It was like late at night or something. I don't know.
But this is my counter-argument then to myself. Maybe he had a thing he wanted to be seen, if this really is him. Because why not go underneath the bleachers?
So did anybody ever say that he might have done this before? Is that part of the...
How does one catch one in this act? If they did catch him, how did he even become a suspect? Had they catch him? We don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think it was the first time he did this. I think they saw it, what happened, and they're like, all right, we're going to do a stakeout here and find out who's doing this. And then they caught him in a second time. I'm assuming. I don't know.
I would love to go to this high school and just be part of the story.
Would you be proud that your superintendent is alleged to have done this?
Yes, I would. It would be kind of like a good, you know, story for... people that I meet in college.
But
my superintendent pooped on the football field.
Who would you be talking to about this? Guidance counselors.
It's an icebreaker at parties.
It is an icebreaker at parties. How if this isn't true, how did someone even make this up? Let's say somebody doesn't like him as a superintendent. This is a really fantastic story.
Is it so
unrealistic that if someone made up the story, like, listen, I have something against the superintendent, I want him fired. Let me think about the most unrealistic story. It's so bizarre that it has to be real.
That he was framed.
Yeah, he was framed.
But, like, why would he resign then? Like, come on. If you resign for something that wasn't true, then you shouldn't be superintendent.
I think embarrassment. Would you want to be around while this is going on?
No, but, like, I would defend myself if that I didn't actually do it.
Like, so you're saying there's got to be some truth.
Listen, I would probably defend myself if it was a scenario where I was having stomach issues or something.
Oh, yeah. I would defend myself even if I was guilty. I would never admit this.
Yeah, I mean.
You could put me to a lie detector test.
I kind of feel bad for the guy. Like, I feel like he probably might have had stomach issues or something.
And the flip side, what happens if this is his thing?
If this is his thing, I guess that's a different story.
If it is his thing, how was he not caught before? I don't think this could have been his first instance.
He wouldn't have been superintendent or whatever. It would have got out by his friends or something.
Of course it would have been. This is politics.
I just never heard of anything like that where you have like a affinity for pooping in public.
There's a lot of weird people
out there. And there are woods out there. New Jersey has a lot of trees. It's a very beautiful state. Garden state.
Yeah, you know, now that he's pooping on it. Yeah. Legitimately on the land. Really, really bad situation. Yeah. If they didn't catch him in the act, not to get too gross, how do they know from a human?
It's a good question. Maybe they tested it.
We're really getting in the weeds on this one, aren't we?
We've done more of an investigation than probably at the school themselves.
I don't want to. I really don't want to do more investigation in this. I just think that there's a lot more to this story than meets the eye, and I have more questions than answers.
This is like like one of those bad stories that you just like, it's fun to talk about that you don't want to go away. So, like, I just hope that stories like this come up a lot over time, you know?
I feel like I learned a lot, but I don't know what I learned.
I don't really know either that, like, you know, shit happens, I guess.
And on that note, well.
So, rating this one or no?
No, I think it was just a crazy story. I don't want to rate this one.
Yeah, we're not rating this one.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, that's it for today. We went from guns to employees and reporting your coworkers to pooping on the football field, and we'll see you next week.